anything you want to order. And if I could ask for a roll call, please.
Light. Cathedral City. Present. Coachella.
Present.
Desert Hot Springs.
Here.
Indian Wells.
Present.
Daniel.
Present.
Latino.
Here.
Tom Becker.
Here.
Hot Springs.
Okay, we'll add in by the urgent meeting of the Conservation Commission. Many of us just walked in at the last minute there. We got that done, and we're ready to roll on this one. So let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance. You can all join me. The Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah. All right. Okay, it's time for public comment, and I have Jim Rothrock and Les Durant, our Whitewater Parker, would like to speak at the time of the agenda, if that's okay, when we bring that item up.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. And so then we have Robert Manning on the rail tour. And that's not on the agenda, so maybe we'll take that now. And we have a 3-minute limit customarily. We'd appreciate it if we move through as quickly as possible. We appreciate it. Darren Schnorr had a great time.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's very important. Members, last Wednesday, approximately 19 people from the Coachella Valley, members of the CBA, CBEP, and other business leaders, were fortunate enough to take a bus trip provided by Amtrak from the Palm Springs train station into downtown Los Angeles for a tour of the recently refurbished Amtrak maintenance facility. This is where they do heavy work, locomotives, general maintenance on all the rolling stock, and it was a real education to go into this detail and watch some of this work in progress. We were then transported back to the L.A. Metropolitan Transit Authority, where the building, where we had lunch. We then had a tour of Los Angeles Union Station, an in-depth tour, going through the old ticketing area, closed to the public, the old Fred Harvey restaurant, and what have you. We departed at 3 o'clock on the Sunset Limited. Our group is escorted to the dining car where we were provided dessert, coffee, and soft drinks by Amtrak. It was a great day. The group then retired to the lounge car as opposed to the section of the car that was cordoned off for us. And we rode in this lounge car all the way back to Palm Springs. It was a real insight. It was a great educationally venue day, and I think everybody enjoyed it. We've got a lot of compliments. And tonight on Channel 6 News, tonight on Channel 3 at 6 o'clock, we will be on the news. So hopefully you'll be out of here in time to watch that. Thank you.
Thank you. Martin, that was a good day for a lot of folks who had a chance to see it. I'm not sure that the potential for long-term rail daily service in the valley is still a significant hurdle to climb. Any other comments on that trip? Anybody else took the trip?
I'd just like to ask you how much time it took to go east and how much time it took to go west.
Okay. Robert, can you address that?
It took us a little over 2 hours to get in there by bus, and it took us about 2 hours and 45 minutes to get back due to the fact we had a medical emergency on the train. So the train was delayed because paramedics had to come to the train for an unknown medical reason. A lady collapsed, and that caused a little delay on the return trip. But other than that, it was great.
And then there was a recent Desert Sun article about a new service that, that Amtrak is providing to drive to take you into Fullerton.
Yes, that's a bus train connection.
And that would be the same bus, the kind of thing that you took?
Same kind of bus.
So
first
there is
class.
Improvement there. Mr. Pettis.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I had an opportunity to go on this trip, and it really was good, and great participation by CBA and CVAP and hoteliers. And I wanted to thank Bob for all the work he put together. It was a great time for the Valley to go out there.
I wish I could have been there. I think I was quarry team.
Your staff was there. Your staff was there.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That concludes any other public comment that I the rest, I believe, are related to an item on the agenda, so we'll take them at that time. Okay. Executive Committee Director comments. Anybody have a comment they'd like to bring up at this point? Seeing none, we have a couple announcements from our Executive Directors.
Yeah, on the interchanges, I mentioned the last Executive Committee meeting, we are having a ribbon-cutting ceremony at Indian Avenue Interchange on March 9th, 9 a.m. Hopefully you all have it on your calendars. It should be short, and of course it's not just for Indians, so it will be not only short and sweet, it's for Indian and Palm Jean Autry. It's an awfully big event for the Coachella Valley to have two interchanges done approximately at the same time. And perhaps you've seen the Desert Sun or other media outlets. There are closures, in fact, tonight and tomorrow night on I-10 at 8 Palm. Tonight, eastbound from 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. And tomorrow night, 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. westbound. Lastly, I just want to acknowledge that a member of our staff, Aurora Wilson, is going to be acknowledged at the Desert Christian Academy for her work at Roy's in the next few days. So congratulations on that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I didn't have a chance because he wasn't here, but I'd like to introduce and have us welcome our new city manager, Randy Binder.
Okay, Randy. Parks.
I had intended and tried to get our ROTC and our jazz band for, I don't know whether the kids are under, they were bad and being punished, but the principal is not letting any of the children off the campus. So they will not be able to do the flags or the music.
We will have to make do without them.
I'm sorry. Right.
Mr. Kirk, I might just volunteer the same group out of Palm Springs High.
That'd be fantastic. We'll follow up after the meeting.
Not to steal your thunder.
No, that's fine.
The road goes both ways.
Dual energy.
Yeah, it goes both ways.
Let them their first shot.
All right, we have a number of items on the consent calendar. Can I have a motion for approval of those?
Move approval of the consent calendar.
Second. We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That carries unanimously. Under the discussion action items, the first item is SCAG elections for regional council representatives. Aurora, I understand you're going to kind of tell us a little bit about how this works.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. We're now going to conduct an election for SCAG regional council representatives. The election process has taken place over the last 30 days. A notice was sent to all elected officials announcing a call for candidates on January 30th. The deadline for candidates to submit their names was Friday, February the 10th. There are two regional council districts in the Coachella Valley. There's District 2 and District 66. District 2 consists of the cities of Cathedral City, Desert Hot Springs, Indian Wells, Palm Desert, Palm Springs, and Rancho Mirage. We have one candidate from District 2, that is Greg Pettis, council member from the city of Cathedral City. And Mr. Chair, in accordance with SCAG election procedures, if there is only one candidate, that individual shall be declared the district representative without having to conduct an election. District 66 is the other district. This consists of the cities of Blythe, Coachella, Indio, and La Quinta. There are two candidates for this district, both from the city of Indio. I see Councilmember Lupe Ramos Watson and Councilmember Michael Wilson was the other.
He was here. And there's three of them.
Okay.
He left because he didn't want to speak.
There's three of them.
Oh.
He just decided that he would be best to speak.
Okay.
In that case, Mr. Chair, that leaves only one candidate, and that is Lupe Ramos Watson. And the same process would apply.
Yeah, I don't know if that actually leaves one candidate. I did ask Councilmember Wilson if he was going to withdraw, and he said no. So I think a vote is still in order.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a recommendation. We stay with the council.
Actually, it has to be from the member. That district.
That's right. You're absolutely correct. My apologies.
Before we make that motion, I think we're going to offer an opportunity for Lupe to make a statement, and we would offer it to Mike if he's not here. So, are you done, Aurora?
Yes,
are you finished
with
your comments?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in that case, we'll hear from Lupe Watson.
Thank you, Supervisor and Chair. My name is Lupe Ramos Watson. I've served on the Union City Council for the past 8 years. For the past 3 years, I've served as a SCAG representative to the Energy and Environment Committee. And I've been very diligent about attending my meetings on the Energy and Environment Committee. A year ago, this body elected me to represent District 66, and I've also been attending those meetings. I've been involved with the regional transportation planning and the sustainable communities planning for the next 4 years. Most of the workshops that have been held here in the Coachella Valley I've participated in, and I've been the liaison between the SCAG staff and the regional cities that I represent to make sure that all the information is disseminated here at the local level. And if you have any questions of me, I'd be happy to ask them.
Any questions? Anyone that has been asked by Mr. Wilson or would like to say anything on Mr. Wilson's behalf?
I know Michael was interested in running because he thought that he could make a difference and a change. He was very interested in running at the time. He did not know that Luke was there for a minute and a half, but he is interested in being considered for the job.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. Appreciate that. Okay, I am told that we need to take a roll call vote on this. Voters include any elected official from Indio, La Quinta, Coachella, or Blythe. Those are the cities in this district. So we will only. Is the secretary prepared to call roll of those cities?
Yes.
Okay, please call roll.
Do we have a motion?
Oh, I'm sorry. We probably needed a motion.
Probably a little easier. Just vote for one of the two candidates, and then as a body, the executive committee can make a motion accepting both candidates.
That would be Greg Pettis and whoever.
So we'll just do voting by each elected official from those four jurisdictions.
Does each city get one vote, or if there's two elected officials from that city, do both of them get a vote?
Each elected official from each jurisdiction gets a vote. So in the case of Indio, there are two votes here. I think that's the extent of it. Two from Indio, one from La Quinta, one from Coachella. One from Blythe.
Okay, Secretary, please call the roll of those four cities.
Blythe?
I'd like to have this young lady right here. How do you say your name?
Lupe.
Lupe, okay.
Coachella?
I'm going to go with Mr. Wilson.
Indio?
There'll be two.
Mayor?
Let me flip a coin.
No.
I'm going to go ahead and re-elect Lupe.
Councilmember?
I vote for myself.
Mayor,
you Councilmember Watson.
Okay, Councilman Watson would be the winner of the election of those cities involved. In which case, we need a motion to have the executive committee affirm by motion that Greg Pettis will represent Districts 2 and Councilwoman Watson will represent District 66. Can I hear that motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. That was item number 7A. B is Gary, presentation on the draft audit financial report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For a quick correction, it should be the final audited financial report as opposed to draft as printed over here.
Okay.
So presented to you the CBEC's final audited financial report, SAS 114 letter and management letter for fiscal year 2010-2011. The audit was performed by the accounting firm of Mayor Hoffman McCann. Staff recommendation is that the executive committee receive and file the reports. The technical advisory committee concurs with staff's recommendation. Ms. Jennifer Farr, a shareholder with Mayor Hoffman McCann, will briefly go over the audit and will answer any questions that you may have regarding the audited financial reports and letters.
Good evening. My name is Jennifer Farr from Mayor Hoffman McCann. I just have a brief presentation for you. We've completed the audit for the Coachella Valley Association of Governments for the year ended June 30, 2011. And on February 14th, we issued an unqualified audit opinion on the financial statements. An unqualified opinion means that the financial statements are free of material misstatement. Our audit involves a number of procedures. Some of the more rigorous procedures we did this year included looking at the five largest capital projects. We reviewed the agreements related to those projects, ensured that the revenues and expenditures were recorded properly, were recorded in the correct fiscal year, and were consistent with the terms of those agreements. We also received independent third-party confirmation of 98% of the revenues recorded in the financial statements, and the confirmation is the highest level of evidence, audit evidence that you can have. We also tested the new county revenue bonds and the related repayment of the Measure A advancements. The auditor is required to report certain information to those in governance. We report that in a separate letter addressed to the executive committee. Some of the things that are mentioned in those letters, in that letter, is that CBEC implemented GASB statement number 54 this year, which changed the categorization of governmental fund balances. So we are required to report to you if we had any material audit journal entries, and I'm pleased to report that we did not have any. We had a few minor suggested adjustments that were not recorded because they were not material. We noted no instances of noncompliance. We also had no material weaknesses, internal controls that came up during our audit. And lastly, I just wanted to point out that we found staff to be very prepared for the audit. They were responsive to our questions, and they were very professional throughout the audit. So we thank staff for their assistance during the audit. So that is all the comments I had prepared for this meeting, and if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Thank you for your presentation. Questions or comments?
Move approval.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much.
And just a brief comment, and I get to do this once a year, and I'm sure John will have did before me. I have to acknowledge Gary and the entire staff at CBAC for fantastic work on the financial side of things, which is a big part of our business.
Yes,
thank you, Gary.
Thank you very much. All right, next item, item C, update on Roy Desert Resource Center, Aurora Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Attached to your staff report is a memo from Supervisor Benoit regarding future funding of operations at Roy Desert Resource Center for the homeless. This memo was presented by his staff and discussed at the Homelessness Committee meeting on February 15th. The operations budget at Roy's for fiscal year 11-12 is approximately $1.9 million. This fiscal year, the county's contribution to the operations was about $1.2 million. The county states that they are facing dramatic budget cuts for this next fiscal year, and one-time fund balances that were used to offset operations at Roy's are no longer available. County staff also added that they have a significant investment of $7 million in the building that houses Roy's. There was a unified vision initially that the county would provide the building and the tenant improvements, and cities will help offset the operations by an annual contribution of $103,000. In your packet, there is a revenue status report which shows the contributions this fiscal year. You'll also see that CBAC has applied for a number of grants. As a result of decreased contributions, the number of beds were reduced from 120 to 100 this year. There's a Friend of Roy's Foundation Board that is awaiting its 501c3 status that has already participated in a couple fundraisers, including the first Palm Desert Century Bike Race held back in November. Mr. Chair, I will now turn it over to you for discussion. Also, Luby Ramos-Watson, Chair of the Homeless Committee, would like to address this committee. And we also have Linda Barak, who is the Director of Desert SOS at Roy's. She's also present if you have any questions.
Okay. Thank you very much, Aurora. It's an important and difficult topic. I'll ask Lupe if she'd like to comment before I go any further.
I only wanted to give the perspective of the committee. We had this whole discussion a week ago when we were given the information about being short for this next fiscal cycle. And we have a very sad but very robust discussion on the future of Roy's. And at the end of the discussion, it was our recommendation that we ask both the Executive Committee and the Technical Advisory Committee to please consider placing on the upcoming fiscal budgets of each city the requested amount of $103,000 only for the purposes of having a full discussion at the council level. We realize that this project cannot continue to move forward without the full funding from all of the member jurisdictions, but we need for each of the councils to have that conversation before we can make plans for our next fiscal cycle on whether we're going to have to cut back or what we're going to have to do in Roy's. So that was the recommendation of the committee. We understand the current situation with the budget at the county level. Up to date, the cities have come up with approximately 60% of what we originally thought we would be able to contribute, and now it's time for the cities to really have that full discussion at the council level.
Thank you. Yeah, let me just comment that I view Roy's as an important asset that we've invested in heavily. It has been very much a success in terms of the numbers of people served and the quality of service they receive. It is an expensive operation, and we are going to have to make some significant efforts to try and bring those expenses down. The county is going to be making further cuts in all of the budgets. We're talking somewhere around 28% across the board for all non-safety entities once again this year. I don't need to go over the fact that our budget is heavily dependent on assessed valuation. Those are way down. It's going to take years of 2% a year for every house that's turned in the last 5 years to come back and begin paying anywhere near what they were paying in property taxes before. So that's the long-term status of the county is going to be tough. You know, over the last couple of years, I had to go to my colleagues, and we did ask that we make some one-time adjustments to avoid further deeper cuts in previous years to our homeless budget. We did that. I will probably be asking for some of that again as we go into our budget negotiations. As it stands today, if the existing budget was cut by the 28%, this year's county total commitment would be closer to $600 million, or for the 4th District portion of it, I'm sorry. And approximately 5 1/4 of that would go to Roy's as if it were divided the way it's been divided in the past in the 4th District and a portion of it going to the other end of the valley. These are very challenging numbers for how we're going to continue, particularly if the city participation has been reduced. It is a very trying time. I did ask, and I had a meeting this morning with the board of the Desert Resource Center Foundation. We have Mr. Jim Hicks, chairman of the board, members Denise Welch and Christine Hammond in today, and Tor Buck, who's, I think, volunteering her services as something of a secretary. We have other directors, Sly Zenitz, Bruce Craven, John Westerway, and Damian Trevor. My purpose of calling them in was to introduce myself to them and tell them how critically important their job is going to be in the future as we move towards a date in the future when more and more of the burden has to be carried by the board and volunteer and philanthropic efforts if the trend continues the way it has been. I'm going to work with them to try and energize them. I'm going to ask you as members of this board and other members of the community to join them in that effort. We have a striking example on the east end of the valley of Martha's, where it was a place that was developed the other way around. A nonprofit board built it from the ground up. Turn that on its head, and we've got a county city organization that now needs to reverse the process and begin to develop a board that can take over, if not all, at least a significant portion of the fiscal service. But in the meantime, and giving them time to hopefully grow to do more of that, it's critically important that we get the help from you, our cities, to join us. And I will go back to the board and again try to boost the numbers I just read. And we're going to try to negotiate a better deal at Roy's in the meantime. So it is a report on the condition. No action is addressed right now. I'd be interested in hearing comments from board members.
Mr. Chair.
Please, Don.
Yeah. When we dealt with this issue last year, and that Indio, Coachella, and La Quinta was more concerned with the homeless issue that we have in the east end of the valley, not 25 miles away in Palm Springs. La Quinta and Indio, I know, Indio went ahead and they said they're donating their funds for homelessness at Martha's and the Reserve. La Quinta did the same thing, and if you look on page 32 and 33, it says 00. Actually, we gave and allocated $100,000 to Martha's, and that's not listed on here. And I have a problem with that, because anybody that doesn't know the difference is looking at this and thinking that the city of La Quinta is not helping in the homeless situation that we have here in the valley. So I would like this corrected to show that the city of La Quinta did donate this. We also donated bus passes. I think $3,000 worth of bus passes and other financial aid that we can help with Roy's and that. But we get right back to the focus of where the money is needed. And in the east end of the valley, we need it just as much as Roy's does. And as you know, what's happened at Martha's is going to have an impact. So
absolutely,
these are issues that I think that need to be addressed. But I think that this report needs to be addressed to show that La Quinta did give $100,000 to these two entities that we have.
He's trying to make a good point, and I'm going to suggest that this is strictly the Roy's Desert Center fiscal budget, but if we're going to list the city there, we should probably have a parens that says where they invested in the homeless issue. But Aurora, would you like to comment?
Yes, I just wanted to clarify that the contribution that the city of La Quinta is referring to was for capital money, was for capital dollars, and it was not for operations.
But it was to build a facilities to house homelessness.
Yes, there was a capital contribution to Eastern.
And they needed it. Both of them needed that money.
I just wanted to clarify that, sir.
Okay. And ongoing is important. Yes. Who was first? Doesn't matter. Either one. Steve?
Just Coachella. I just want to state as well for the record that we've been giving our funds to the Galilee Center, which is a nonprofit as well that opened in the city of Coachella and is feeding Coachella, Thermal, needy. So that's where our money goes.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Miller?
Yeah, well, as you know, I deal with John. I've taken a lot of one of the burdens for many years with both the Coachella Valley Rescue Mission and Martha's Shores, which we're very proud of to say that they're helping homeless in the city. So we give about $120,000 to the two of them. Which I think is stayed on here as a combination from our CDBG. We split it evenly among them for operation costs. We do incur other costs that we just absorb from police and fire. We do not charge them for services that come into our city or anything they need from anything that we can supply them free charge. And then we also gave a little over, what was it, $20,000 to find food bank, with a lot of that to be earmarked to go towards Market Village and CDBG to help them. Deal with the share of our CDG money to make sure that the homeless in the city of Indio are taken care of. Thank you.
And you're listed on here as the city of Indio and the MVK contract reduced from Indio contribution. Aurora, could you explain what that entry on Roy's Desert Center?
I was thinking maybe the city manager from Indio might explain that a little bit better since he was part of that effort.
Yeah, actually, I was with the county at the time when we talked about doing it this way. What happened is that the county's already contributing to both these entities, Martin's Village and CD Rescue Mission, and then the idea came up, why not have the cities in the eastern end of the valley contribute an amount, and an amount equal to that contribution would be diverted from those entities to Roy's Resource Center, which is what occurred 2 years ago, and it occurred again this year, and that's how it came up.
I understand, and I appreciate the clarification. I just would ask that we look at how we lay this out so that it clearly identifies all the contributions to the homeless from all cities and where that money is transferred, that it should be shown here.
Okay.
If that's an important but side discussion, the fact that in general we're running down a path that we're not going to be able to maintain all these facilities if we don't all come together and figure out a way to maintain public and private funding at a level that will keep them open. I'd hate to see Roy, and particularly with almost $5 million county investment in the facility, not able to maintain the kind of services that we've been able to maintain there. Even there's talk about whether or not we can even keep it open year-round. That just is not a good option when we've invested as heavily as we have. So we will continue to bring this on the agenda. We will continue to discuss the foundation, and I would ask you to join me in trying to support their efforts to get on their own feet and do as much of this as they can in the future. But I would also ask you to go back to your cities and prioritize this for an open discussion that Mr. Watson suggested in every city, either locally on the East End or West End. Indio, nobody can question the fact that you're contributing money, et cetera. So, anything further that we need to say, Tom or Aurora?
No.
Okay. All right, that was an information item. The next item is item D, Green for Life, Katie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, and I'll make this very brief. We just wanted to keep you updated on the ongoing efforts of all of the cities in the Coachella Valley through our Green for Life program, which is a partnership with cities, including the utilities, Edison, the gas company, and IID. We are specifically working in one aspect of that with the city served by Southern California Edison, but one of the benefits of this collaboration is we're looking at ways to leverage the resources that are coming from various sources to benefit all of our cities. And I just want to give you a couple of updates. I think the overall goal of this Green for Life program is to establish the Coachella Valley as already we are known as the center of the universe in terms of renewable energy. Is that right? We're definitely the hub in terms of renewable energy. And we want to add to that list energy efficiency and sustainability. Fortunately, many of you have made a lot of progress in that regard. Some of the things that we're working on right now that you'll be hearing about and that will be coming before you through the CBAC committee process are an effort, a green building program, actually a green building policy, a voluntary policy that would help to identify ways in which property owners can build buildings more efficiently and receive potential credits for that. And we're working on energy action plans for our jurisdictions, and this is something that is being developed for the Edison cities, but which will be shared as a template for all of our cities. Basically, what this looks for is how to identify opportunities for energy cost savings, those that are available today, or in these times of challenging funding resources, things that might be available in the future with grant resources and other funds that may come along down the line. We have greenhouse gas inventories that are being completed now. All of your staffs have received copies of a greenhouse gas inventory that is all of the cities served by Edison. La Quinta has already had that process underway for some time. Coachella is in the midst of that process. And we're looking at ways that we might be able to leverage the resources to support the city of Indio in preparing the inventory as well. One of the other aspects that we have as an exciting element of this program is interns. We have a process of bringing on 18 interns over the course of the 18-month time period. We've already been through one batch, and a new team of interns has just been hired. There are 9 students that come from our community colleges and other resources, and they are working in a variety of ways. Actually, tonight, the interns are going to be at UC Riverside Palm Desert. We have a lecture series that's being launched tonight, a green sustainability lecture series. And the interns are going to be there to reach out to folks and talk to them about ways in which they could save money and be more energy efficient and reduce our carbon footprint. Another thing that we're very focused on is supporting your staffs. We know that this is a very challenging time for all of the cities and that staff time is precious. We have recently, through a contract that you approved last month, brought Susan Weisbart on board. Susan, many of you know, worked for many years with the City of Indian Wells. Susan's going to be working with Jacob Alvarez from the CBAG team to help support city staff and provide whatever kinds of things might be helpful to them as we move forward in trying to identify and implement energy efficiency efforts. Another focus that we'll be working on over the next several months is how can we build the infrastructure in our community. And just as an example, we've been talking recently with Southern California Edison about their intent to offer a heating and air conditioning, a HVAC or an air conditioning incentive program. They provided us as part of that with a list of contractors who might be asked to do an upgrade of a heating, of an air conditioning system. And none of those contractors listed were from the Coachella Valley. So one of the things that we're finding is there is may not be the infrastructure, the education, the training, the background that our contractors would need, that our staffs would need to be prepared for some of the initiatives and opportunities coming forward. So we've been looking into how we might work with some of our local partners. We had a good meeting last week with Cal State San Bernardino Palm Desert. We want to work with COD and others to identify ways in which we can build that infrastructure. So those are some of the things to be looking forward to. This is really just a brief update. You'll anticipate hearing more from us as we go forward over the next few months. And I appreciate the chance to share that with you, and we really appreciate the tremendous support and time that your staffs are providing in this effort. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie, for the Green for Life update. Is there any question from a member of the group? Seeing none, thank you. All right, item number E relates to transportation fund related funds and support construction of the Whitewater Parkway project. And I understand Mr. Kirk is prepared to give us a little update on it.
Yeah, I will not be giving you a PowerPoint. That's the good news. I know. A little bit of background, and I will be describing the project, which you've all seen once or twice or three times on the concept. At your last meeting, you did authorize staff to move forward with an application for state sustainability funds. We did a little background on these state sustainability funds. And last year, the state awarded $26 million statewide in state sustainability funds. How much do you think Riverside County got? $325,000. We put an application in, and I don't want to jinx the application, but I think we've got a pretty good shot. We asked for the maximum this year for this project. We asked for $1 million. I think we've got a good shot for three reasons. One, this project checks off all the marks. AB 32, SB 375, greenhouse gases, public health, alternative transportation, etc. So it meets a lot of the objectives that the State Sustainability Council is looking for. Secondly, is financial. We said to the state that, yeah, we'd like $1 million, but we'll provide $750,000 of cash, and that is through the county's open space district. We've set aside some funds to do work on the Whitewater River, so we're actually matching state funds with $750,000, and that $1.75 million will be used to do engineering and environmental work on the parkway as we move forward. Third, the reason I think the state will look kindly on this is we got a lot of support in a very short amount of time. I'm going to hand out an index of support letters. I know some of whom are in the audience will probably speak on this item, but it was actually a pretty impressive list of support letters from a variety of sectors of our economy. The actions before you are really designed around another grant opportunity. And we've talked about these at the Executive Committee and certainly at the Energy and Environment Committee and Transportation Committee. And that's related to the Sentinel Air Quality Mitigation Funds. You've gotten the background on that. That's a $53 million mitigation fund that's been established by state law and by the South Coast Air Quality Management District. The Sentinel Power Plant is under construction. $53 million has been deposited to the South Coast. As you know, Supervisor Benoit sits on that board. I put in my staff report, but it's worth repeating today, that on February 3rd, Supervisor Benoit pulled off something I found to be close to miraculous, but certainly very important to the Coachella Valley, and that is encourages colleagues on the board to secure all $53 million for the Coachella Valley. And you've heard discussions about this before, and that wasn't guaranteed under the legislation. So certainly 30% was a reserve for the Coachella Valley, but it took board action to reserve all $53 million. That was a really big deal for the Coachella Valley. The South Coast Board did authorize staff to move forward with its own RFP process. That RFP is now out, and the actions before you are to authorize your staff, CVAG staff, to do a number of things, prepare an application, seek letters of support, and commit matching dollars from our transportation program to support the application. The Energy and Environment Committee supported a number of the recommendations unanimously. The Transportation Committee did so on the transportation item, and the TAC opted to focus on the first two recommendations and did not take action on the latter two. I know there are a few speakers, so I'll try to keep my comments short and be prepared to address any questions or comments you might have.
If it's the rule of the group, I'll allow the public speakers now to make their comments before further discussion. Okay. Let's call on first Kay Hazen, who says her address is on file with him.
Just about everybody. Mr. Chairman and Executive Committee members, I'm here tonight to speak briefly about the potential health impacts of creating a valley-wide parkway. For me, this is a game-changing opportunity for the Coachella Valley. It's about making the healthy choice the easy and accessible choice, creating a safe place to walk, bike, and play, and promoting active and healthy living in every community throughout our Coachella Valley. It's really kind of a call to action for all of us who have been talking for years about creating healthy infrastructure that will work in concert with other collective strategies that are currently underway all across our desert to address chronic disease and obesity, and to lower our healthcare costs and increase productivity and generally make for a healthier community for all of us. We all know that health problems related to physical inactivity and obesity surround us. We hear more and more about it every day. Predominantly, these things are heart disease and diabetes. They kill hundreds of thousands of Americans each year, and it's almost epidemic. And here in our own Coachella Valley, at both ends of our desert, we are facing high rates of obesity for children and adults alike. We're really starting to face the next generation. It used to be Generation X. These days, it's more like Generation XL. And we've got to do something. Or, for the first time in history, children will have shorter lifespans than their parents. This is unacceptable. And one of the ways we can do something about it is by cooperating on some of the healthy strategies that are underway with HealNet and with healthy cities and sustainability and creating sustainable environments and addressing the built environment. And that's what this is. This is a way for us to address a growing body of evidence that suggests that we can do something to address these problems and avoid dealing with them at the tail end, which is when we're treating disease, when it's too late. Rather, we can do something at the front end, which is to prevent some of these problems at the infrastructure end by making healthy infrastructure available across our desert. So I'd like to urge you to support moving forward with these and pledge my own support as an advocate across all of Coachella Valley to try and make this happen. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Julius Kaysen. Julius? And you're representing the Palm Springs Hospitality Association?
Representing Palm Springs Hospitality Association and representing the HIBC board of the Palm Springs Desert Resort Convention Visitors Authority. I'm the vice chair of that board as well as president of the Palm Springs Hospitality Association. I actually brought a couple of handouts, if you don't mind, that I can share with you. I don't know if there's enough for everybody to disclose. Our two organizations, the HIBC and the Palm Springs Hospitality Association, have come forward in support of the Whitewater Parkway. And there's several different reasons why. And part of it is obviously directly related to tourism, because that's really what our two organizations are all about. And one of the things that's coming around, I've circled a paragraph to read to you. According to a study of American tourists performed by Tourism Queensland, 20% already qualify as ecotourists as of 2010. Up to 43% of all tourists look for nature immersion activities onto vacations, and almost one-third actually plan vacations based on natural environmental activities. Among ecotourists, historical sites, ecological nature, wilderness activities rank as top destination preferences, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, some people say, well, is this ecotourism or not? Well, the definition, the International Ecotourism Society defines ecotourism as responsible travel to natural areas that conserve the environment and improves the well-being of local people. And I think this project definitely qualifies for that. And I think this project would really put us on the ecotourism map. And it is the number one most growing segment of tourism. And you really have to ask yourself, why do people come to the Coachella Valley? There's a whole bunch of reasons. There's the weather, there's the natural beauty, there's the world-class hotel products, there's the special events, et cetera, et cetera. And this is but another major reason that people would want to come here, because it would be a very unique thing. I passed out something else to you, which you might say, why would I pass that out? It's the history of the BNP Paribas Open, which I'm sure probably everybody in this room knows the history of the event a lot better than I do. But the only reason I passed it out is because this was a tiny, small event in Tucson, Arizona. It moved up here, went to Mission Hills. Eventually, they built a 7,500-seat facility for it at La Quinta Resort. Eventually, they built the Hyatt Grand Champions Hotel with a 10,000-seat facility. And then eventually, of course, we know we have the Indian Wells Tennis Garden, one of the world-class tennis facilities in the world. And the reason I talk about that, I just think it shows what we can do when we, for lack of a better word, go for it. When we go all the way and go as far as we think we can, because I guarantee you, there were a lot of naysayers each time that thing grew. There were a lot of naysayers, but the city of Indian Wells bought 27 acres around that facility as it was being built to show their support for that. And now we have truly one of the great tennis events anywhere. And I have to tell you, as a tourism person, that is the number one event for tourism just because of the duration. 10, 11, 12 days, hotels around the valley in full. And also, things are happening, and some of it in our competitors, and some of it's not. You do not have this with you, but I will share it. I will share it.
Jonas, I'll have to ask you to wrap your.
Okay, sorry.
Thank you.
There's a couple of other trails like this that have been developed. The multi-use trail in Miami, Ohio, of all places, is one of the largest in the country. 78 miles paved. 350,000 people a year use the trail. There's another one that's being developed in Minnesota that will be one of the largest. So this is happening in other communities, and I would really hope that we can do something here, because it will put us on the map. People will come here, and as already mentioned by Kay, it will also improve the lifestyle of the people that live here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And the next speaker, I think it's Elizabeth Graham.
Good afternoon, Chairman, Supervisor Benoit, and members of the committee. I'm here speaking on behalf of a lot of people. I've worked in the planning profession for almost 25 years. I got my master's when I was 12. So, and this is such, from coming from a planning perspective, this is such an incredible proposal. I'm able to say, which people rarely can say these days, is that I'm very proud of our elected representatives and the vision they're showing for this valley. I serve on the Riverside County Trails Committee, the Trails Advisory Committee. I'm chairman of that committee. I'm also involved with a group called the Coachella Valley Community Trails Alliance, which is a nonprofit organization that's been advocating for simply a bike trail along the Whitewater for many years. And I can tell you there's tremendous support in this community. We started our work in the East Valley. Our first office was at the base building in Coachella. And I know that there's a lot of support for this project out there as well. It's rare that, well,
CBAC is a transportation organization, for first and foremost. It has other duties, but that's, I think, the main mission why it was formed. And to do effective transportation planning, you need to cooperate. And that's the big challenge for our valley, is the way we're politically drawn, that we have 9 different cities and many unincorporated communities. So CBAG really is the only organization that can play this role to coordinate major transportation projects. This vote is momentous for the Coachella Valley, but it's not unusual. Many other jurisdictions dedicate a sizable portion of their transportation funds to non-motorized transportation. Historically, the Coachella Valley has not done this. So to designate a portion of transportation funds isn't to non-motorized transportation and low-speed electric vehicles. It's not unusual, but it's unusual for here. As has been previously said, this has been done very successfully in many other areas, and I am very hopeful that there will be a unanimous vote in support of this proposal.
37.
Thank you. To show that the Coachella Valley can work together for the benefit of the entire valley. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. And Tom Flavin, Steve.
Thank you very much, Chairman Benoit and committee members. On behalf of CVEP, I'm here to urge your support for the Trails Parkway projects. Besides being a wonderful recreational asset for the region, we view it as an important infrastructure asset that can serve as a catalyst for jobs and economic growth in the region. Just as an infrastructure project and looking on a short-term basis, we see that in a national study, jobs created per $1 million infrastructure project for bike lanes, it's 14 jobs. For pedestrian projects, it's 10 jobs. For road repairs and road resurfacing, it's 6 jobs each. And all these jobs add up. So, but we're also interested in the long-term opportunity. We're getting a real foothold in the sustainable sector, in the alternative transportation systems area. One of our iHub clients is electric vehicle systems, which retrofits existing vehicles with an electrification system, and they're getting ready to move out of the iHub already if that's successful. Recently, we had a Swiss company approach us, who, believe it or not, actually manufacture Formula One hybrid race cars. And the reason they came to us is because they want to get connected with the Thermal Motorsports Park. And I just use these two examples as opportunities for you to see how the private sector is interested in alternative transportation system and how both short-term and long-term economic benefits can materialize from this project. So with that, we urge your support for this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. And our last speaker is Mr. Jim Rothblatt.
My name is Jim Rothblatt. I've lived in the Valley since 1971. I'm going to read my comments, otherwise I wouldn't remember what I was going to say. And they take about 1 minute and 15 seconds of my time this way. So I'm here to support CVAC's proposal to construct the Whitewater Parkway. The Whitewater Parkway would not only provide regional recreational opportunities for Valley residents of all ages, but more importantly, it would provide safe and green transportation connecting all the Valley cities from Palm Springs out toward Mecca. It's my opinion that the eastern Coachella Valley stands to gain the most from this project. The Whitewater Parkway would create a conduit connecting the wealth of the West Valley to the Salton Sea, reestablishing the sea as a major recreational destination point, even if someday the Salton Sea becomes the Salton Sink. A check of Google Maps will show that right now, as I speak, the Whitewater River is lined on both banks with dirt roads that top flood control berms. If access were allowed to these existing roads, then pedestrians, equestrians, and cross-country cyclists could travel from Palm Springs to Mecca today. So, like the people that spoke before me, I think it's a great idea, it's a great project, and I wish us all good luck that will make it happen. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the public comment. Thank you to everyone who took the time to be here. I will open it up for comments from the Stone. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and fellow colleagues. I promise to sit here as an elected official that has at least skin in the game and is part of it. But I'll tell you, I can't understand why anybody would be opposed to this wonderful project that is going to provide tremendous recreation, healthy lives, alternatives, theme transportation, tourism, and certainly with the great leadership of my colleague, Supervisor Benoit, at AQMD, and securing $53 million, I know that we will do everything, at least with my vote at the county, to try to make this a reality, because I believe this is going to be a tremendous amenity in this present climate, no pun intended, of being green. What a wonderful opportunity to have here, and I'm fully supportive of it.
Thank you, Supervisor Stone.
I'd like to say I strongly support this visionary project. This is something, if you get the money into something like this, and you go out and put it in this little project, and this little project, 5 years go by, you wonder where the money went. You invest in this, it's there forever. So I think this is a golden opportunity, and I strongly support it.
Thank you both. Mayor Durrell, yes, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Cathedral City comes tonight prepared to support this. I think I've made my my own opinions clear that I think that this is a project for perpetuity purposes, and I think it's a great project to support. But I want to share that as council members, we had a long and healthy discussion on this. And while I come tonight with council majority, but consensus from the majority, we do not have full approval. There is a council member who needs more education, and we do believe that we can bring him along. But I just want that to go into the record so that you know while we have consensus, we do not have any unity. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grossa. Mr. Hernandez.
A couple of questions. In the staff report, it doesn't indicate how much we are applying for. It says the $53 million is available, but how much are we applying for as an agency?
To be determined. I think most of you have seen my presentations to say we may apply for about $40 million. Whether it's $30 or $40 or $35 million hasn't been determined yet. Part of it relates to the length of the trail. As you all are well aware, there have been discussions at a couple of ends of the trail about whether the trail is a high priority in those communities. If those segments of the trail come out of the proposal, the request would be less than was currently envisioned.
So who makes the determination in terms of that having the segments?
Well, each of those cities could certainly make that determination. I think there's going to be a discussion, and for example, Desert Hot Springs about that being a priority.
Second question, with respect to the trail going to the Salton Sea, how clear are we on the trail going to the Salton Sea? Because I've heard several different things, and I want to make sure we're stating what the facts are to the public.
Yeah, the trail as envisioned in the 2009 study included actually heading quite a bit further northwest into the Whitewater Preserve and quite a bit further southeast all the way to the Salton Sea. The proposal of the Air District would probably just be the urbanized portion of the Coachella Valley from the south end of the city of Coachella to Cabot Museum, again, the city of Desert Hot Springs wanted it, in the far northwest, and the city of Palm Springs on that border as well. As an electric vehicle route included, it doesn't make a lot of practical sense to extend it much further than that. So we're really looking at the urbanized portion of the Coachella Valley.
Ms. Parks?
Yeah, that would be the 54 miles that you refer to.
Yes.
So the 54 miles would be from Cabot to Salton Sea?
No, 54 miles is to Avenue 56 and at the south end of Coachella.
Okay, so that's the 54 miles. Well, you know, personally, I'm totally in support of the concept of this. I love the healthy lifestyle, you know, the riding of the bikes. Of course, I don't.
We'll ride to you.
And we'll do a double, a tandem bike. As Mr. Rosa said, my council is going to be discussing it on the 6th at our council meeting. They want more information. They want to know, is CBAG going for the entire $53 million? And will CBAG be taking the majority of the Measure A funds to offset how much will the cities be asked to invest, if any, over what period of time? The total cost would be about $100 million. Personally, I believe it's the next best tourist attraction since the tram. And the tennis gardens. I just got to sell to my council, and right now there isn't enough information to let them know. Are we taking everything from the close proximity and the environmental justice areas for this, or are there still going to be funding available for individual projects that cities are going to be?
Let me clarify that CVAG isn't making a decision on funding, of course. It's up to the South Coast Air Quality Management District in both the environmental justice area as well as the six-mile radius as well as the other undesignated pot of funding. There are going to be multiple proposals, and it'll be ultimately up to the South Coast Board. Your staff at CVAG never envisioned applying for all $53 million. That's never been a part of the game plan. And the intent would be to prepare a competitive proposal and let South Coast make a decision.
The $100 million price tag is worth
it. If you have a project, go for it.
If you have a project, go for it. The $100 million, I'm not sure what that's referring to. Right now, the current estimates by RBF are about $80 million, which does include the 54-mile system. You also mentioned the Measure A funds.
Are those the transportation funds we're talking about?
Yes, they are. Measure A funds are the proposed transportation funding source.
And Tom, you talked, I think she asked another question about how much is that envisioned to be?
We provided a fiscal analysis we talked more about in the Transportation Committee of up to $20 million in Measure A funds. One of the questions...
Over what period?
Over 10 years, probably, and not 4 or 5 years. Just so everybody kind of knows what the South Coast, I believe, is thinking, and the supervisor can correct me, I believe South Coast wants to get this funding off their books. In other words, use that $53 million as quickly as possible to fund emissions reductions in the Coachella Valley. As a result, they want that money to be spent quickly, and so any matches, whether they were a CDAG match on this project or other projects, we're envisioning the matching funding to be used later. And one of the things the Transportation Committee said as a part of the policy incorporated herein is let's make sure that any transportation dollars don't jeopardize any high-priority projects on the CVAG priority system. And that is a part of the staff recommendation and Transportation Committee recommendation.
Well, I've got two counselors that are adamant. And they want to go to the public, they want to have workshops, they want the public input on what they want to do with this $15.9 million in the close proximity.
They're not controlled. It's just the AQD.
No, I mean for the projects to go forward.
They're going to have to, I'm sorry that no city, there was city controls. AQD, they have the money.
The projects that go forward.
They have the goal, they're going to spend it where they think. Best. If you want some of that money, you have to go.
Yeah, it's worth noting that that there is a portion of this that has to be spent within 6 miles of the plant, which incorporates some Riverside County, but is mostly within the city limits of Desert Hot Springs, and that's the part that I think that you're very.
But you've also got Palm Springs Unified School District.
Yeah.
You've got the Desert Water Agency. You've got the Mission Springs Water District. You've got Palm Springs and a little tiny corner of Cathedral City, from the freeway to Varner on Palm.
Who was next? I think Miller.
Yeah,
video first.
And well, I'm personally very supportive of the plan. I still have to bring it back to my council to discuss on the 7th of what their anticipation of that funding would be. I'm sure that once we give them the information, they'll be able to make an educated decision based on it. But I also want to be prioritizing our transportation needs, too, also, to see before we would agree to utilize transportation dollars because of the need in our city for transportation projects. So if we are very supportive, we will talk about it on the 7th.
Thank you. Mr. Hoover?
One of the questions that's arisen in Renton Marauders is how will you be dealing with at least three country clubs that have private property right up to the edge of
the wash,
and who will not, at least at this early stage, will not agree to anything to cooperate because it interferes with A, their golf courses, and B, their quietude, things of that nature.
In short, you go around them. The original proposal in 2009 envisioned routing around those golf courses, and that would be the proposal today. There are a couple of courses, and probably not Ranch Road, but a couple of other courses where there may be interest in having the parkway go into the golf course, particularly a public golf course or two, semi-public. So the current plan is that when you get to a golf course, is to route around it onto the street system.
Okay. Thanks.
Other questions? Yes.
If I could just ask, Tom, you have in your third request, you're going to create model draft letters for city managers for cities to do support. Could you consider including that this project would be as a regional project? I think that might be helpful. For those cities who are also going to apply for other projects.
Yeah, I think this came up at the TAC meeting to some extent. We know that there are going to be other applications, and there'll be interest, whether it's from cities or water districts or anybody else. In the model staff report with consensus here, I'll draft it, and again, you could modify it, but I think it would make it clear this is the regional project for regional priority for all the reasons the speakers identified, but that wouldn't preclude other organizations, including your cities, from submitting other applications that could even compete with this one.
Yes.
I think Mr. Hernandez.
And you know, I'm wondering if CVAG would, you know, kind of have a reciprocal relationship with the cities, and so far as supporting perhaps other regional projects that cities can work with, for example, light synchronization between different jurisdictions that will definitely have a regional impact on our cities.
To give you some indication of that, on the sustainability grant we just submitted, we got a request from the city of Coachella there for a support letter. Since the city's project was consistent with regional programs, I felt comfortable signing it. In cases where a project is clearly within CVAG's plans and programs, I see that would be consistent. If there's any discrepancy, I'd like to work with the chairman or the executive committee on whether I ought to sign a support letter, just like the city managers checked with all of you.
Ms. Parks?
Just one last thing. I know that as I said, a couple of councilors, they're looking at solar installation and weatherization. To reduce the need for energy, which the end result would be, of course, less emissions. So we'll be competing, and they feel that if they support this, then they're losing their impetus for their own project. So it's
we'll work it out.
Green pills.
Let me.
Who's the green one?
Let me try and bring this to a.
Let
me make this to a. Hopefully, a conclusion in one of the comments that I've been bowling. Well done. You know, the pot of money is now coming to the Coachella Valley. We know that the board voted to require all applications to be from the area they defined as the Coachella Valley. It was never envisioned that this pathway would be a project to the exclusion of all others. There are going to be many applications. In fact, Riverside County may help prepare some for the environmental justice areas. And we are going to bend over backwards to make sure that all available technical assistance that could possibly be available will be available to the environmental justice folks. And we're going to have is it the March 15th, I think, a bidders conference in here that will actually occur in the desert, at my request. We've extended the time frame out to 120 days. That's double the typical time frame to allow anybody who wants to apply to do so. One issue with regard to transportation funding that I think is important is that we are going to make sure that the regional priority projects, and we've had this discussion particularly with people on the east end of the valley, come first and get done. And I would suggest that there wouldn't be a dime of our regional money that even is in the pipeline until after 5 years, because we've got to spend the HMMD money first. So that's going to be a long ways away, but I think by that point, it'll be clear this is an investment we're making in our tourism and transportation system of the future in the Coachella Valley, but it's going to be down the road before any local dollars, at least 5 years.
How long do you think this project will take?
Well, remember, when this project, when this project was put forward, I know how they feel over there. I feel the same way. And this project was put forward. They needed public support. Desert Hot Springs, Palm Springs, South. We went out to Sacramento. We testified. We did everything we could to get this.
You worked hard. Power plant.
You know, the power plant. You worked hard for that up there as our senator. We got it. Okay. Now we come down to this goodness. We want this nice Whitewater regional plant. But there's got to be something in it for the communities right around that power plant. You know, we're not really concerned a whole lot what happens down near the Salton City. Okay. Now, near as much as we are what happens right here. They're the ones. Here's where the ones that see it. That's the ones. If there's any smoke in the air, we see it. And there's got to be some benefit up there. That is, you still should do the regional deal, but I think Desert Hot Springs and Palm Springs, the county, Cathedral City was right up there with us. They got to take that into consideration.
And that's clearly part of the reason that I was able to use that HMD to make sure that the money got spent.
There gets spent here. So we need some of that money spent around Desert Hot Springs, Palm Springs, and Cathedral City area.
Ms. Park, did you have a corporation account?
I can't remember now.
Yeah.
Ms. Park, I have a senior moment, thank you.
I apologize.
That's right, Mr. Hanson.
Sorry, kind of late, but this vote that you're going to be calling for, right?
There's a motion here in the staff report.
Yes, yeah, recommendation from the executive committee. To what extent does that commit the cities to approve this project going forward?
No. There's an environmental and engineering process that needs to be undertaken. So this is about submitting a grant application. We have other funding that we hope will be secured shortly to do the engineering and environmental. There's a long public review, public notice, public involvement process before any votes.
Well, I'm hearing a lot of these people tonight say that their cities, their councils have not approved.
Nobody has.
Nor has ours.
Right.
So to the extent that we have a vote tonight without getting approval of our councils to opine on that, how can we then vote in favor, even though individually we may be in favor of the project?
Well, the vote tonight is to allow CVAG to prepare a proposal.
Right.
It would be up to you and your council after that proposal is prepared to look at it and decide whether it's worthy of support. But the vote tonight is to allow the preparation of the proposal. That's the
RFP.
Well, we have an RFP, request for proposals. This is authorizing CVAG to move forward and prepare
the RFP.
A response to the RFP.
Yeah, right.
This just keeps us all rolling.
And I would also point out that we don't meet again for 60 days. It's a 120-day process. We're into it 15 or 20 days now. Action to start that proposal is required now.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Mr. Holmes.
I think this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's really the reason CVAG exists is for projects like this, as we've done on I-10, as we've done in other areas. But this is really a link project that really is why CVAG's here. And I would hope that rather than having a competition amongst all of us, that there's that we can make the attempt to have everybody work together and consequently make the decision for AQMD very simple and make everybody have the opportunity to get what would work for them, but to have the attempt between CVAG and all the cities working together to support each other. And you know, maybe that isn't going to happen, but I think it's an effort that I think CVAG is going to have to spearhead. So I certainly understand where we are now, and I'm certainly going to take that message back to my city, and I would ask that the other members do that. But I'd really like to see a situation where DQMD isn't arguing amongst themselves how to split this money up, but that we come to them with a concerted effort and make it simple for them. I think that's the problem.
I would say, as a representative of that body, and this is an interesting position I'm in, I think that they would very much appreciate that. It is a unique investment for an air quality district to make, but I think they're prepared if there's a show of the kind of regional support that you're talking about to invest a significant portion, it won't be all of it, but a significant portion of this money into a project that they can point to for being air quality improvement. So,
And listening to all the discussion, I certainly understand the need for the environmental justice, but the communities that really have been seeing it and feeling it, it's fully supportive of what we're trying to do here, but should there not be a comprehensive effort on behalf of CBAG and working with the member communities that are within that 6-mile radius to come up with a joint application process, CBAG, independent of the cities in the unincorporated area, so that we don't have significant overlapping applications to make it more difficult for EPOMD. We should be working together. We should total $53 million. We shouldn't total $73 million because somebody's not going to get what they want. And we certainly don't want to jeopardize this wonderful project, but at the same time, you deserve the appropriate mitigation for the impacts of this power plant. So if that's possible, I'd like to move staff recommendation that the chairman work with the member cities, the unincorporated area, to jointly move forward with these applications in a way that makes sense and makes it easy for AQMD to divide up the watermelon, if you will, to make sure that we can capture as much of that $53 million for the benefit of the entire shutdown.
Mr. Chairman, I will second that motion. However, I would also like to add that CBAG has an opportunity now in the next 60 days to go out to each council and educate those council members who are on the fence or who
Absolutely.
Don't understand what the process is or what the project is. I have one council member, but on the consensus of the majority, I will vote in favor.
My motion to include that.
Thank you. Let me just clarify that the motion is to approve the recommendations and include a recommendation to CBAG work to make sure that the cities have all available information with regard to both cooperatively deciding on projects and this project. It's important to note that it's difficult right now to go out and really give a clear estimation of what this project is to your council members or anybody's, because we haven't got the work done yet to develop the proposal.
That's right.
And once that's done, then the opportunity will be better.
Yeah, all these questions pop up. And you sort
a couple
of
more questions.
And wonder where you are. You know?
Well, that goes two ways, because we don't know exactly what projects...
Right.
We want for those proximity either. So.
I understand. A couple more questions. Have a call for the question, Mr. Hernandez.
What happens in the environmental justice area?
How do you mean? What's the question?
I mean, is that included in the motion to also be part of the cooperative CVAC relationship? Because the way I understand the funding, it's a 30%, 40%, 30%. 30% between close proximity, 40% kind of discretionary, 30% environmental justice. So if there is all of a sudden now a regional effort to figure out how to spend those $53 million, I think the environmental justice area is...
The way I heard the amendment to the motion was that CBAG should work as a resource to try and coordinate. It's going to be an AQMD decision. There's no... I don't think AQMD or anybody else will take that away from AQMD. But I think Supervisor was saying we should work cooperatively to share information, particularly about these 30-30 and try to come to a consensus. In the end, I believe there will be proposals that will exceed the $53 million, and it will be AQMD's responsibility to make that those final determinations.
And let me just add that a majority of my council and the community members out there, I mean, the big question for them is equity. And they want to make sure that there's equity in this process. You know, a lot of nonprofits, school districts that are looking to replace fleets that are substandard, to say the least. A lot of mobile home parks that have no paving. And when you talk about the big environment, the built environment, it's extremely significant with respect to their health needs in terms of the air quality living next to agriculture fields, living in mobile home parks that have no street paving or anything of that sort. When we start talking about the schools, the air filters that are needed in some of our schools because of just contamination that's in the air, that is the biggest concern with respect to the East Valley.
And I don't disagree. I see people anxious to get to a question. Let me just say that I agree with all those concerns. I am working in my other hat as a supervisor to work with groups in that area to make sure that they have worthy proposals. And there's a significant amount of money beyond this pathway in this Sentinel Fund for all of those types of proposals.
My biggest concern, again, if we're going to be applying as a region, $53 million is what is available, but a significant amount, as was said, could be $40 million, and I'm not sure what that really does for other projects, but what's able to be funded from the board.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Miller, that has been waiting patiently.
No, I'm good.
I'm ready for the vote. Yeah. All right. Is that a call for the question?
I call for the motion.
Okay. All right. Any further discussion or clarification on the motions? All right. Can I have a motion for two? Do we have a motion? We have a second. All right.
The vote is not. The vote is that there's no city commitment.
The vote is the staff recommendation, which does not obligate any city to fund or approve the project.
Just for grant application.
Yeah, exactly. And in an effort for CBAG to try to marshal the forces to provide AQMD with a regional consensus.
Remember, SCAG is going to referee their own rules.
Yep.
You're not going to decide what goes in.
Is that a fair characterization of the motion?
Okay, with that clarification, can I call for the question? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
We have one. No. Okay. Any further comments? Thank you very much. And that brings us to a consideration of item number F, Alan Weigel on improvements to Dave Palm and Sheehan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is an agreement with the City of Cathedral City to improve Palm Drive and the intersection of Piscicino Drive just to the south of the interchange at Dave Palm Drive. The city has requested funds from the city of, or from CBAC to improve or to extend the improvements from the interchange project in the total estimated amount of $746,750. The CBAC regional funds for 75% of the project cost would amount to $560,062. This is a high priority project. It would allow the city of Cathedral City to finish the work that is presently underway now. This agreement is shown, or the work is shown on page 56. It shows how it will be completing the work that extends from the interchange south. The agreement has been submitted to both your transportation committee and your technical advisory committee for approval, and they both have concurred at their meetings. Staff recommendations for approval.
I move approval.
Second.
Thank you very much. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay, announcements. Next meeting, upcoming meetings, let's see. Executive committee Monday, April 30th. And don't forget the joint ribbon cutting ceremony on March the 9th at 9 a.m. So, with that, Dave Coleman, thank you. So, you had to make a comment. I didn't know that.
This will be extremely brief. I expected to see legislative update on the agenda, and so I did not get up in public comment. Let me say, first of all, this is my farewell meeting for this committee. After 10 years, I've resigned from the league, and so I am taking up new responsibilities with the district attorney's office as their government relations officer. That said, let me please thank all my cities, and those here almost uniformly have always responded to every request. We've had tremendous support for the league and tremendous support as we've advanced our legislative agenda. I appreciate all the kindnesses that this committee has shown me personally over the years. Let me also say that as a kind of a swan song, I at least want to note that the California Redevelopment Association is offering successor agency training. The Ontario session will be on March 7th. And if you have any interest in getting a slightly greater picture of your role within successor agencies, I think this would be a good use of your time. Also, the legislature has now begun to move ever so slowly toward a budget. There are a little over 40 subcommittee meetings that have been scheduled for budget consideration between now and the release of the May revise. The first two will be this week and next week. It is the Budget Subcommittee 3, Resource and Transportation. The two meetings will take up cap and trade. That will be this week on the 29th and then on the 7th. They will take a look at the California Transportation Commission needs assessment report. So for CBAG, for transportation needs, this is something that I would hope that you would closely monitor. With that, I appreciate your allowing me to speak. Thank you very much.
Dave, I'm sorry. Thank you very much for your service. Congratulations. All right. Okay, with that, we...